Well, this, Lord always knows with timing, but when Pastor asked me to step in, I told him, I said, well, you're lucky. I think I already have something. So when he mentioned the other night that a sister had talked to him about the Secretariat movie, that was me. So I wanted to share about that because it was such a precious thing. I just watched it again and enjoyed it so much. And the Lord revealed so much to me in that about the racehorse and about our race. And if I had a title for this, I stole it from one of our favorite hymns. It's called Speed Up Your Going. But in that movie, you look at all the alignment of that, comparing that horse metaphorically to us. I mean, and the pastor just talked about that blessing in the strange place. And this foal was unwanted because of his breeding, and he was won on a coin toss, an unlucky coin toss. But he was unwanted because his mother was too old. But yet he stood within minutes of birth, and he loved to eat. He was considered fat by his trainers. And in his first couple of races, he broke late. But when his jockey gave him the word, all right, let's go. Let's go, buddy. Let's go, Big Red. You know, and then that's when the horse kicked it into high gear, when his jockey told him it was time. And before his last race, he did something, his trainers and owner did something that no other owner was doing. They were all running their horses and exercising them, and they rested him. He rested right before his final race. He was the unfavored contender because everybody knew, based on his breeding, that he was long on speed, short on stamina. And that's where the Lord kind of took my heart, because in that last race, he broke first from the gate and stayed there. He won by 31 lengths. And my brother pointed this out to me earlier, I believe it was this week when we talked. Not only did he win by 31 lengths, but he went faster and faster at each turn, which I guess with physics, normally you would slow down going around a turn a little bit, that the stamina starts to wane a little bit. And he got faster and faster as he went. And as I watched the movie, I was just rejoicing. I was just like crying and praising the Lord. I was like, Lord, I want to run like that. I want to run like that. That is amazing to me. It was so inspiring. And in my own personal study, the Lord then took me over to Job 39, where the Lord is spending the last few chapters of Job's story here, kind of giving him the once over, many times over, but talking to him about the creation, his wonderful creation. So my thoughts were zeroed in on that in Job 39, and it was verses 19 through 25, and I'll read that, but there's only a couple phrases there the Lord really had me zero in on. So, and I apologize, I have to put on my glasses. I have something in my eye, and my eye is just not cooperating with me right now. So Job 39, and starting in verse 19, the Lord says, hast thou given the horse his strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted. Excuse me, I lost my space. Neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha, ha. And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. It was some interesting translation stuff in that, but I started thinking about that the comparison of a war horse and a racehorse, they're not actually that different. But in verse 24, he swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. That was the first phrase that I thought, okay, Lord, what is this? And the key was in the second phrase. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. And there's translations of that, but I like the Amplified the best. And it says, nor does he stand still or come to a halt because the war trumpet has sounded. In other words, that it's time to stop. He goes, regardless of it. I love that. So it was, and the second phrase we'll get to in a minute, but this was so poetic and beautiful and inspiring to me, that he swallows the ground with fierceness and rage. And actually, fierceness and rage in that are both the same word, and I was very pleased at that. But it means to undulate. It's a fancy word to mean to move or go up and down very smoothly in a motion. Any of you that have ever ridden horses for any length of time have hopefully gotten to experience, and there's nothing like it. I have been exuberated that way and been able to ride a horse that undulates, and because they're doing two things. They're moving at full speed, and they're very sure of their footing. And when the horse is at full speed, it's almost like they're not even beneath you when you're riding them. It's so smooth, and it's so beautiful. And it's very, you feel the exhilaration the horse feels when they're doing what they're born to do. But this phrase, swalloweth the ground, this is talking about speed, fierceness and rage. And I don't know if you guys have ever noticed, and even in that movie, the jockey that came in second behind Secretariat in his last race was filthy. I don't know if you've ever seen those jockeys. If you come in second or worse, you're going to be covered with the trails of the lead horse. And so he swallows the ground with fierceness and rage. And immediately started thinking about how the Lord told us in Matthew 11 that the violent take heaven, heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. They're not negotiating at all. And Matthew Henry talked about this a little bit, and I just wanted to share some of his commentary, that this violence denotes a strength, a vigor, and an earnestness of desire and endeavor. It shows us also what fervency and zeal are required. Self must be denied. There are hard sufferings to be undergone, a force to be put upon the corrupt nature. But we must run and wrestle and fight and be in agony, and all little enough to win such a prize and to get over such opposition from without and from within. But they who have an interest in the great salvation are carried out towards it with a strong desire. They will have it upon any terms and will not think them hard, nor quit their hold without a blessing. Heaven was never intended to indulge the ease of triflers, but to be the rest of them that labor. And I think about that in Hebrews. There's a rest for us. And that's just so precious that we have that. And we know that everyone in a race runs all. 1 Corinthians 9 tells us that. Everybody runs, but only one gets the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Or another way, another translation I read of that was, run that ye may seize the prize and make it yours. So a horse that's running at full speed and is also sure of their footing is such a beautiful thing. If you've ever, again, ridden a horse or seen, been on one or seen one that's unsure of their footing, they're extremely jumpy, and they're not fun to ride at all. But we, as that race horse, we can be sure of our footing and go at full speed because we know what's underneath us, and that is the Lord. In Psalms 18, in 33 and 36, he talks about this. It's mentioned multiple times. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me on my high places. And then he says in 36, thou hast enlarged my steps underneath me, that my feet did not slip. So how are our steps enlarged? It's like, well, Lord, how does this? And I started thinking about, how does this work? How do you make our feet more sure underneath us? And if you ever look it up, it's pretty amazing. Secretariat had a 24-inch stride, so 2 feet across. It's probably about the width of this pulpit, maybe a little less. And the other racehorse, actually, there was one that had an even bigger stride. His name was Man of War. And he had a 28-inch. It's a long stride. the average for a racehorse is 20. So enlarging our steps, I was immediately thinking about, when I looked up that word steps and looked up the verses associated with that, the Lord took me to Proverbs 4 and 5 through 12. And he starts out saying, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her, wisdom, not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she shall deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. They don't need correction. If the steps don't need to be straightened, they're fine. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. And then Pastor mentioned it the other night, and I think it was, 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It has nothing to do with what we might think our ability is or our pedigree, anything like that. He strengthens and establishes our steps. Job 23 talked about this as well. And I'll just run there. You don't have to. You can jot it if you want to. I've got things marked. Job 23 and verse 10 through 12. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What wins first place? Gold does. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And Psalms 37 tells us that our steps are ordered of the Lord, the steps of a good man. But I love that last part. It's always sometimes those things right after that punctuation that will get us and give us that little bit more, just that little bit more. But he says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. He delights in his way the Lord is taking him. So great. And though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And even Proverbs, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. There's stability. With the Lord, there's always going to be stability in the way that he takes us. And I even noticed in Romans 4, in verse 12, when it's talking about the faith of Abraham, a phrase I'd never noticed before. And it's funny how when you read the scripture, you go, oh, there it is. Look at that. In Romans 4, giving credit to Abraham's faith, but in verse 12, he was the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet being uncircumcised. The steps of faith. So beautiful. And our race is not about agitation or competition. And I noticed that too, and not just in that film, but in other things. When you think about racehorses, in that film a lot, the competition was always looking down the line to look at the competition. Let's see what they're doing. And even the horses would, their one horse turned his head and was looking at Secretariat. Secretariat just was like, I got places to go. I don't have time to worry about you. He wasn't looking at anybody else. And it was so great. But, my thoughts are immediately going, well, you know, this running and establishing our steps, and it's so wonderful, but running with patience. How do we do that? We're encouraged so many times. You run with patience. I'm thinking, but aren't you in a hurry when you're running? You're in a hurry to get there, Right. And I did a little bit long distance running, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But yeah, when you're running, you think, well, I kind of want to get there. And in James 1, we're encouraged in 4 through 6, letting patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But here's the key. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And he says that he talks about it a little bit more in chapter 5. Be patient, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. And then he talks about the husbandman waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. Farmers, especially, are not people that are in a hurry. They can't be. They have to let the seeds, let the crops do what they're designed to do. They can't be in a hurry. When they're in a hurry to grow things, they don't come out right. They rarely do. So it takes time to get that precious fruit of the earth. But in verse 8 especially, it says, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And that established, like I mentioned, of Secretariat was resolutely faced forward. And that established is to turn resolutely in a certain direction. He wasn't looking any other way. All he cared about was moving forward to that end, whatever that might be for him. And we know the church the Philippian church in Revelation is told that they have kept the word of his patience. That keeping is keeping their eye upon his word. And that's what Secretariat knew. He knew one thing. He had to run. That horse didn't really understand the concept of a mile and a quarter versus a mile and a half. They don't understand necessarily that. He didn't have a concept of the trophy. That meant nothing to him, and he didn't care about publicity or bragging rights. None of that mattered. But he only knew how to do the one thing. And he knew the finish line was there. He may not have known the distance, but he trusted his jockey and his guide to tell him when to stop. So the last part of my text that the Lord had me looking in Job 39 was of verse 25. He saith among the trumpets, ha, ha. And that translated, he speaks according to the abundance of the glistening, pleasing, fair, and bright ones. So he speaks according. He knows what the voice of the trumpets is. He can say with them, right? I love this. And the precious saints that have gone before, I was telling my mom recently that I said, the Lord better come soon because I'm not sure I could live without you. I don't want to. I don't want to watch any more of the saints pass away without us. But they're in the stands cheering us on. They've been there. They know what lies at the finish line. But they know, more importantly, what it takes to reach that finish line. And we know, we're so familiar with Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, right? A great cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded with them. They're encouraging us to lay aside every weight and run with patience, again, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, right, who for the joy that was set before him. He had to exercise and is exercising, as Pastor talks about it all the time. He's like, come on, like, let's do this, you know? The same patience, he's exercising the same patience to win us that we have to exercise in our race to win him. Impatient runners. Again, I ran a little bit of cross country in high school, but I've enjoyed long distance running. But I found very quickly, impatient runners, especially long distance, if you get impatient with maybe how your body's hurting, the terrain, the weather, whatever might be going on, those long distance runners get frustrated and lose focus and lose their speed, possibly their endurance, or they might even give up altogether and just stop running. I'm guilty of that when the muscle cramping in your legs is too much or you're getting the side cramp from not doing good breathing or whatever. Because in long distance running, you have to keep a really conscious focus on your breathing and breathing at certain times, your muscle form, and again, the current terrain. But I found as I ran long distance more and more, at the time, you probably heard of runner's high. You get this rush of endorphins when you're done doing whatever exercise or distance that you're going. But long distance runners, be they human or horse, they have to be constantly enticed by the joy and the victory of finishing the race and the exertion required to get there. They have to be drawn by that. That's, I think, why so many people, if you love running, you're going to keep loving running because of the way it makes you feel. The benefits that you get from doing it, either in running, emotionally, whatever that may be. So we've just been studying on Wednesdays in the Song of Solomon, right? Draw us, Lord. Draw me. I love that. She says it first. Draw me. We'll run after you, but draw me. It's so great. And even in Psalms 119, I loved that study that Sister Lynn did in Psalm 119 years ago. But in verse 32, it says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And sometimes we need that because there are seasons of weakness, you know. And I know in Secretariat, he had a mouth injury. He had an ulcer or something in his mouth that caused him in a pre-race to come in, I think it was fourth, before the Triple Crown. And to the great disappointment of his trainers and his owners, like, what is going on with him? Physically, they're looking at him going, there's nothing wrong with him. But then they found the source because he wasn't eating. He wasn't feeding because he had a sore. He had an injury. There's times of weakness. And Isaiah 40 talks about this, and it says, in verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. We talked about that, about wisdom. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths, young people get weary too, right? Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And the Lord took my eyes to that word renew. Renew their strength, right? I'm thinking, oh, after some wonderful rest. No, renew means to slide by or to hasten away. It's kind of like coming to, like you're starting to slow down a little bit, and when the Lord renews you, you just zoom on past. There's no rest. There's no stop. It's just a picking up. It's like the wind underneath that eagle's wings as they're going. It's like, okay, time to next, grabbing that next thermal climb, you know? But to slide by, and he did. That horse slid by everybody else and kept going. And it was so sweet. And, you know, the character's father, the owner, her dad said to her, I've run my race. At the very beginning, he was, I believe, had dementia or Alzheimer's. But he said, I've run my race. You go run yours. I've already done my part. And this was said about the horse, too. She said, I've run my race, Big Red. You go run yours. It gets passed on, and it's so precious. And thinking about Brother Vic, this is the message of every saint who's gone before. Go run yours. I've done mine. Go. And I immediately started thinking about the vision. In Habakkuk 2:2, I love this. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And I loved what Matthew Henry said about this particular set of scriptures. He says, God has written to us the great things of his prophets as well as of his law, that he who runs may read it. Those who will not allow themselves leisure to read it deliberately, may not avoid a cursory view of it. If you're not going to put in the effort, you won't have the understanding at all. God has an appointed time for his appointed work. It is not for us to anticipate his appointments, but to wait his time. And it is a great encouragement to wait with patience, that though the promised favor be deferred long, it will be an abundant recompense to us for our waiting. At the end, it shall speak and not lie. We shall not be disappointed of it, nor will we be disappointed in it, for it will fully answer our believing expectations. The promise may seem silent a great while, yet we must continue waiting for it, being assured it will come and will tarry until it does come. I'm sorry, and willing to tarry until it does come. Those that are made just by faith shall live by it. When they come to heaven, faith will be swallowed up in vision. And I know that is what I want, and the Lord showed me that. Sometimes you get weary of the waiting. We get weary. I don't see it, Lord. I can't see it. But he says, you're keeping the word of my patience. This word is wisdom and patience to us, establishing our steps as we go while we wait for that victory, that trophy. And there was I left it at my phone. There was a great quote about from a car racer that I wanted to share, but you know, Lord had it that way. It's not obviously not important, but it's about, I think he said something, it's not about how fast you go. It's about how long you go fast. So it's really precious, but I would just encourage you all, like I encouraged myself afterwards. It was like, even in a movie, Lord, you told me, speed up your going. Hope it's been a blessing to you.